meditations of my heart and words of my mouth be acceptable unto thee, O Lord, my rock and redeemer. Amen. Thank you, and please be seated. Today's sermon title, our homily title, is called The Haves and the Have-Nots. In this week's Gospel by Christ, we read the parable of the Great Supper. Rejection is a common theme in the Holy Scriptures, especially the rejection of Christ Jesus by his Father's chosen people, the Israelites. The theme for today's parable is an invitation to the Great Supper to dine with a certain man in his home. All the initial guests declined the invitation. Then the certain man opened his home and invited all the people in the city to his dinner table. Many of us can already see where this parable is headed. However, we may have overlooked an important precept which occurs in the setting in which Jesus tells this story. Here, Jesus is having supper with the chief of the Pharisees. At a certain point in the conversation after the blessed feast, Jesus mentions the resurrection. At the hearing of this, the chief Pharisee jumped to his feet with joy, for he knew the blessed feast was prophesied by the prophets of the Old Testament. In this prophecy, the prophets foretold of the breaking of bread in the kingdom of God. Here the chief Pharisee understands the great messianic feast is to be given by God to his chosen people when he comes to set up his kingdom on earth. But the chief Pharisee misses the point. So Christ begins to help him understand what God is really doing. In verse 15, which precedes today's gospel lesson, we read, "Now when one of those who sat at the table with him heard these things, he said to him, 'Blessed is he who shall eat bread in the kingdom of God.'" Here the man declares the ultimate beatitude. The breaking of bread at the banquet table is symbolic of the breaking of bread at the altar of God. It is symbolic of having eternal communion with God. This parable illustrates the first and second coming of Christ. The first coming represents his birth, where Jesus was born a servant who was sent by his Father to make believers and convert the faithful. This is represented in the parable by the invitation to the Great Supper. The second coming is represented by the Great Supper, which is served at evening, representing the end of the church age. This is the great messianic feast. The first invitations were held for the Jews who rejected the invitation, and the second invitation was for the Gentiles and all of mankind. The early church fathers saw the three excuses of this parable in this way. The first excuse was, "I have bought a piece of ground, and I need to see to it." This represents a devotion to the earthly wealth and is symbolized by the piece of land. The second excuse, "I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove or test them." This excuse symbolizes the Jews' devotion to the first 5 books of the Old Testament, otherwise known as the Pentateuch, or Law of Moses, represented by the 5 yoke of oxen. The third excuse, "I have married a wife, so I cannot come," symbolizes a man's devotion to himself and his flesh. What cannot go unnoticed is that the invitation represents a decision. It is a decision we all have to make. We all have received the invitation to the great banquet. We all have received the invitation to accept Christ as our Lord and Savior. But there will be few who will accept the invitation. In Matthew 22 we read, "For many are called, but few are chosen." Now let us examine the three excuses more closely. The first excuse is represented by a man who is devoted to his earthly wealth and his business. He is too involved in farming and developing property, represented by the piece of land. This man allowed his business, his profession, and affairs to consume his life. Now, God demands to be at the center of our lives, and anything else is categorized as idolatry. In Matthew 16, we read, "For what does a man profit if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" And in Titus 1, we read, "They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate." The second excuse is represented by a man who bought 5 oxen and becomes too wrapped up in his new possession. The owner wanted to more closely examine his new oxen and prove or test them. Examples of oxen in today's world are things such as cars, boats, books, clothes, and a world of other material things. If we are not careful, these things can consume us, and to God they are nothing again more than idolatry. In Luke 21 we read, "Take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the cares of this life, and that judgment day arrives when you are unaware." Also in 1 John chapter 2 we read, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world." The third excuse is represented by the man who has just taken unto himself a wife. This man refuses the invitation because he is too wrapped up in his family. He has just been married, yet true marriage is not put before God. No social events, family affairs, baseball games, leisure, family or friends should be ranked higher than God. In Luke 14 we read, "So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple." And in Deuteronomy 10 we read, "And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee, but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul." In Matthew we read, "Then Jesus said to his disciples, If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." After being rejected 3 times, where the guests showed little concern and general contempt for the invitation, the certain man, who we know as God the Father, sends his servants out into the streets and lanes of the city to invite everyone else. The great messianic banquet includes guests from the highways and byways of the world, not just the Jews, God's chosen people, but the Gentiles, who are now invited to the banquet along with the Jews. The invitation to the banquet is like the invitation to the altar at the Holy Eucharist to those who are baptized and have accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior. All people who respond to God's invitation and do not make excuses will be welcomed into the kingdom of God. The significance of the great supper for all who accept his invitation is that once the banquet hall is filled, there will be no more room, no more time, and things will come to an end as we know it. The doors of the banquet hall will be closed and sealed forever. God, who is represented in this parable as a certain man, will have the final say. The rejected God will now become the rejecter. This is a sad but fitting pronouncement. The Lord says that not a single decliner of my invitation shall taste of my supper. There is no second chance. This is similar to the parable of the wicked vine dressers in St. Luke chapter 20, where we read, "The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone." In 1 Corinthians 6 we read about the rejectors who, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortionists shall inherit the kingdom of God. Here, God does not mix words. He makes it quite plain and simple. But the choice is ours to make. Unlike conventional wisdom, God does not condemn us. Rather, we condemn ourselves. Our God on this Sunday before Father's Day is a benevolent Heavenly Father who loves us with all His heart. He loved us so much that He gave His only Son to die on the cross as a propitiation for our sins. Our sins are forgiven if we believe on His Son, Jesus Christ. We will share in that great supper and inherit a great kingdom if we repent of our sins and strive to obey His commandments. So the choice is ours to make. We can be the haves or the have-nots. The decision rests with us. Thus saith the Lord, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.